So is there any black sheep here this morning? Let's pray. Father, we sit here, Good Friday, and we want to honour the Scripture. We want to honour your presence. And we want to honour the day that really changed the world. So we hand over this next few minutes to you in the name of He who died for us, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the paradox of all paradoxes, actually, is what we're talking about today, isn't it? It just doesn't make sense. Last Sunday, Palm Sunday, is the celebration of Jesus entering Jerusalem. And he entered like a king. And he was treated by the people that had been following him like a king. So he entered the city of God as a king, but riding on a donkey. And then within a very short space of time, he was with his disciples. And when he was with his disciples on that Last Supper, he was identified as the Lord, Kyrios, the Lord. And John has been touching on this. And it strikes me as absolutely and totally amazing that Jesus Christ, who had just recently entered Jerusalem, says, in paraphrase, "You're right, I am the Lord. I am Kyrios. I am Lord. You're dead right. Absolutely true." And then basically goes on to say, and this is how the Lord outworks his lordship. And what did he do? You all know this. We do it after baptism here, don't we? He washed their feet. He said, "Yes, you're right, I'm Lord. Yes, you are correct. You have identified the truth. I am he who was promised to come. I am the one." And here's how the one behaves. This paradox, so different from the expectation of the day, and I think even the expectation of today, where if we're not careful, me included, if we're not careful, we fall into the trap of thinking that we are supposed to represent Christ according to the parameters that have been given to us by the culture around us. And if we're not careful, the risk is always that we use the ways and the means of the culture around us to fulfill the end of the gospel. And so if we're not careful, we end up, instead of being like Jesus said for us to be, we end up using power and authority and lobbying and arrogance to somehow make us the center of things so that then we can represent Christ. Where the story that we're in, the part of the story particularly that we are looking at today, is all so different. It's a complete paradox when it comes to the ways and means of the world that we live in. Isaiah 53 represents it really, really well. I just wanted to take a minute to have a look at a scripture. And then we're going to have a look at just about 4 minutes of a video, assuming it works. And then we'll finish off. Because I want to be really careful that whatever is said or done from here honours Christ today. But it's hard to do because every time you get up, there's also a sense that we live in this culture of spotlights, and it's just a risk. And you know what? I know that sometimes we Christians can get a bit intense. But if there is a day to be intense, it's probably today. Let me put this scripture up. Jesus in the garden, just prior to when he's betrayed by Judas, when he's hauled off to the chief priests, just prior to his crucifixion, it says, he himself withdrew from them about a stone's throw from his followers, knelt down and began to pray, Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. I don't know about you, but I think I'd be praying that. But in fact, I think I pray that every day, just about. I think I could give you a list of things where I pray that prayer, because I don't really want to do it the cruciform way. I don't really want to do life the cruciform way. I remember reading a few years ago that this idea of a cruciform universe, and we've chatted about it here and there before, and so I'm not one of presenting a doctrine on it. I'm saying there's something about it which is so brilliant and beautiful. The idea is that the universe itself is cruciform, if you like, that death and life, that death and resurrection are literally in the DNA of the universe. That's something to think about. But certainly when it comes to the plan and purposes of God for you and I in Jesus Christ, it certainly has a cruciform shape, right? But, you know, I don't really want that. I want to be above and not beneath. Who remembers those old early faith quotes? I want to be the head and not the tail. I want to be the victor and not the victim. I want to be the one who comes in victorious, like into Jerusalem that day a week ago. I do want to be that person. Do you? I think a lot of the times, at least, we do. Jesus in his humanity said, Father, is there another way? Is there another way? Just in his humanity, in that moment. And then he said, yeah, but not my will, but yours be done. He could have said, even though my humanity says I don't really want to go the cruciform route, I don't really want to go the crucified way, but I know it's the only way. I know it's the only way. And so I'll follow. I will go the only way that we can bring back to us those that were lost, which was you and I. So it's actually the way of weakness rather than the way of strength. But in that weakness, there is strength, and therein lies the paradox. That the way that the eternal God set stuff up was not who can drop the biggest bomb? You know, I'm stating the obvious, and I know at West City that's a very obvious thing to say. But what I'm suggesting is that even though we're not involved with drones, we are so often, well, I am anyway, trying to figure out the way things work in this culture so I can get on that train, so I can make things happen, so my job's good, so my family's successful, and I can say a whole lot of stuff, right? And if there is any day that we can challenge that, it's today. It's Good Friday, where Jesus said, look, if it's your will, take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. It's such a paradox. It's the way of weakness rather than the way of strength when you look at it from the perspective of our culture. It's the self-giving. So I just wanted to play this. I'm going to just play about 3 or 4 minutes of a video because I thought the kids are here as well, so, you know, we can watch the video. And it's Jean Vanier. And so he's the leader and the founder of the ARC community, which is worldwide now, which is a group of people who just share life together and have disabled people of varying disabilities just as part of that community. It's also where Henry Nguyen spent his last years. So just a few minutes, because he talks about this alternative way, this way of the cross, this paradox. So if we could just play it for 3 or 4 minutes, I'll let you know when to stop.
Any thoughts on why God set it up so that life comes from surrender and death? It's kind of messed up.
Life comes from the recognition that I can't do it on my own, that I need help, and I cry out for help. That to say, we need a savior. But not a savior who's going to give me necessarily power, but who's going to reveal to me my real identity is not being a Canadian Catholic, but being just myself, and that I'm loved by God. So, what are the experiences that make us realize that we're not all powerful and that we're not God? So it's the experience of my poverty. So it's the touching of our impuissance, our powerlessness. It's when we touch our powerlessness that I need your help. And then we discover that fragility, weakness, is not an evil, but it can be and should become the place where I can meet people so that we work together and are together. So it's as we touch death, and so then I realize that I need a savior. I need Jesus. Or I need God. I need a presence. So the strength, the beauty of human beings is that we are capable of doing beautiful things, but we're also capable of realizing that we need help. And that I'm not all-powerful, I'm not God, and I need community, I need church, I need Jesus. But we need an experience of vulnerability. Like, the danger in our strong civilizations is the last thing we want people to learn is to touch their weaknesses and their vulnerability. You can't ask people to do a curriculum vitae putting all their weaknesses down. You know, have to show that I'm better than others and all that. So it's what will help people to become conscious that I need help and that I'm fragile, but at the same time that I'm beautiful. I mean, we can look into the mirror and say, you know, I'm super, and I don't need anyone, I'm just God. Or I can look into the mirror and say, I'm awful, nobody can love me. How to look into the mirror and say, you know, I'm fragile, I'm weak, I've got brokenness inside of me. It's okay. I'm loved by God. So the whole the greatness of the humanity is that we are programmed to grow, but we're programmed to become weaker. This is the story of all of us. I'm closer to the end, others are closer to the beginning. But it's as we become conscious that we are fragile, that I didn't choose my parents, I was baptized, nobody asked me whether I wanted to be baptized. I mean, it was a gift. My manhood was a gift, and all that. And then to discover that I have received these gifts, to accept the reality of who I am. But if a child hasn't had that experience of being loved, then we're in difficulty. Like one of my friends who was brought in the palliative care to the Canada and the States, he was asked to help one of the head of the mafia who was in a prison in the States, who had a cancer of this. It's very complicated to. And this guy obviously had a story of abuse when he was a baby. Verbal, physical, sexual abuse. So adults, you just had to get rid of them. Weakness was a horror. So you have to be powerful. You enter the mafia, you enter gangs to have a consciousness of power. And all weakness was horror. But my friend was saying as his sickness continued, he became weaker. And my friend said, he became my best friend. That weakness was not a horror, but it was a moment of communion, of peace, and so on. So all children have not had the experience of being loved. Most children have had that experience, and then they have to prove.
This idea that Jesus Christ showed us a different way entirely through his death is so challenging. I think it's so challenging. To challenge every single area of our life, to have the courage to challenge our presuppositions about the way that we have seen our culture set up. Last scripture in Philippians, Paul, who we've spoken about so many times here, Paul the Apostle, who was a tough guy, right, by nature. You just got to read some of his stuff. You'll see he wasn't like me. He was more like John. He was tall and good-looking. There's my silliness for the morning. He was a tough guy. Paul was this strong man, and he said this in Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11, and we'll finish on this. My one desire is to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and to share his sufferings in growing conformity with his death, in hope of somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. Now, there's a series in that, but what I just wanted to bring out this morning was Paul is saying the power of his resurrection is hand in hand with his sufferings and death, that one leads to the other. The sufferings and the death lead to the resurrection. That's how Jesus lived. That's what we celebrate today. Even as I'm saying those words, I'm starting to sound like a jingoistic slogan, so I'm not going to. I just want us to know, I want me to know today, that when we celebrate on Good Friday, we are saying there is a different way to live. Jesus lived that way so that we could be brought back into relationship with the living God. Then the challenge is for you and I to live that way. Let's pray. So, Lord, the ultimate paradox is set before us over Easter. Celebration and weakness and resurrection. Father, remind us today of what you did for us. And as we go through this weekend and subsequent weeks, give us the strength to live the same paradox. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Rob.
We're going to sing one more song together in closing. Why don't we stand up together?